Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday at 4, I got to say, this is one of our favorite weekly spots. Mike Lombardi, VSiN Morning Show, Daily Coach, GM Shuffle. Mike, how we feeling?
We're good. We're doing great. Yeah, everything's really good. Big game this week, Bengals-Eagles, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Be a great weekend.
Yeah, you know, let's start off with the Bengals. So they're 3-4. They were a preseason pick from a lot of people that to be true Super Bowl contenders. They've been playing better. How good do you think they are right now?
Well, and I'm one of those people that thought they could be really good this year. I thought they improved on defense with the addition of Von Bell and Geno Stone at safety, a weakness that they had last year. But their front, they lose DJ Reader to Detroit, and they signed Sheldon Rankins, and he hasn't been to the same level I think they hoped he could have been. Their defensive front hasn't been as good, and people have really run the football on them. I mean, look, they lose the opening game to the inept Patriots because they couldn't stop the run. And this has been going on. Then they play Baltimore. They have a 10-point lead twice in the fourth quarter and give that up. So they win those two games. They look like a completely different team. But they've had injuries. B.J. Hill, one of their tackles, has been hurt. They're relying on a lot of rookies in the defensive front. Hendrickson will be a problem for the Eagles to block. But this team is really about Joe Burrow. They're not a physical team. I would not call them a mentally tough team. I think that the coach, he would rather throw a 3-yard stick route to get a first down than just try to run the ball and be a physical team. Chase Brown is probably their best back, but they have great skill. It's a problem for Philadelphia. I mean, the Eagles have only forced 2 turnovers all season. And so, for as many sacks as they get, sacks are great in the sheet, but really what you want is you want pressures to create turnovers, and the Eagles haven't been able to do that. This game's going to come down to, can this Bengal offensive line protect? And they've had problems at left tackle. Orlando Brown's hurt. The backup, Cody Ford, he's hurt too. So they're really, really struggling this. And their right tackle, Mims, is a first-round pick. So if they protect Burrow, this game will get into the 30s. If they don't, then I think that's when the Eagles have a chance to win it.
Yeah, and if I would imagine the Eagles with the way they're winning right now, Mike, I'm wondering, do they want to keep this a lower game? So in other words, I'm leaning towards, if you're the Eagles, are you coming this game trying to take advantage of that Cincinnati weakness, which is that run defense, and you still lean on Saquon Barkley in this game and you try to shorten the game?
Well, I think what you got to do, when we talk run game, I think people have a great misconception about the run game. Look, the run game, all it does is give you field goals. If you run it 3 plays and all the defense has to do is make 1 play and they're punting. Right. And so you need chunk plays. You need to throw the ball effectively. But what's happened, let's take Detroit as an example. Detroit throws 55 passes against the Bucs and loses. And they go into their meeting on Monday morning and say, that ain't who we are. Right. So Goff hasn't thrown the ball more than 25 times in any of those games. No, he's thrown for 300 yards. He's only thrown 15 incomplete passes in the last 4 weeks. He's been dynamic. But they went in there, but they used the run game to control the pace of the game. And I think that's what Philly's got to do here. You got to use the run game to control the pace. You got to be able to make big explosive plays in the passing game. And you really got to put them on their heels. Baltimore did that. And so I think that's what you want to really do, because this team is going to struggle to hold up. But if you go in there saying, look, we're just going to run the football, nah, that ain't going to cut it. It really isn't.
Well, yeah, I like Detroit is a great example, and I wish we played much better. I mean, much closer to what Detroit does when it comes to the quarterback. But I look at Detroit's quarterback, and he can get under center. He can line up in the shotgun, play action, bootleg, screens. Like, it seems like they have so much available to them with Jared Goff. And so they can do that running stuff because they still have that ability to hit you with the play action pass. Whereas with us, with Jalen, it seems like most of our chunk plays are down the sideline to AJ in one-on-one situations.
That's right. Right. And, you know, because they're no longer the six-back attack, when he was having the most success is when they were using him as part of the sixth running back in their offense, which is hard to do because, you know, you run the risk of getting them hurt. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know why they don't put him under center. I don't know why they don't have more of a balanced attack in that corner. I think Detroit is living proof of that. You know, you limit yourself in shotgun runs, and you don't take advantage of what the strength of their team is, which is the offensive line. Now, they obviously are going to miss Mulata at left tackle. That's going to be a problem because Hendrickson's a good player that they've got to block. So they got to be really careful over there. You can't let Hendrickson destroy the game. And if he forces, you know, if he forces the quarterback to start running, and we know Jalen, once he sees pressure, he's going to take off and go.
Mike, we've been talking about Jalen, as we do talk about quarterbacks here a lot today. He's had such an interesting career, given the huge amount of success a couple years ago and even the first half of last year until the Eagles slide. And he seems a little lost right now. Based on everything you've seen from him, where do you think moving forward his ceiling is? And is it good enough, I guess, is the very basic question.
Well, you know, in 2022, he averaged 8 yards per attempt, right? And to me, he is really dynamic when he's able to use play action and get going in those areas. I think to me, you know, but what we've seen over the course of his 4-year career is we've seen this, it does become a little bit of a problem. I mean, in 22, he had 122 RPO plays that gained 1,068 yards, 122. This year he only has 30. So what's happened to him is a little bit of the shift in how people are defending him, right? I mean, you know, in 21, he had 95 RPO plays. In 22, he had 122. Last year, he had 89. This year, he's on pace for 30. So I think what's happened is the league has caught up with this RPO game. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles haven't shifted their offense to another style that takes care of what he does well. Again, I've said this about Lamar Jackson. Look, the only play in football that the quarterback has the ability to block somebody is on boots and nakeds, right? It's the only play, because if you're Jalen Hurts and you fake a handoff on the outside zone to the left and you roll to the right, the left end of the defense, he's got to run with you. So they can be in an 8-man front, but you're really in a 7-man front because somebody's running out there with them. And I think, to me, being under center opens up more stuff, but people are stubborn. They see everybody running shotgun. We're in shotgun on 3rd and inches. Hell, I was at a high school game at Ocean City High School the other day, last Friday night, and it's 4th and inches, and Holy Spirit's in shotgun. And, I mean, it was literally maybe not even an inch, and they're in shotgun. I mean, it's the epidemic is spread all over the place. It's ridiculous. It's insane.
I mean,
but we're a copycat industry. When one team does something, we all have to do it. Remember, when I grew up, it was the Delaware Wing Tee. Every high school ran Delaware Wing Tee. That's Tubby Raymond made it famous. But now everybody's in shotgun, and even on the most stupid plays of all, there's no original thinking. And I think, to me, if you're Kellen Moore, you got to think about, what can I do to get back to what he did well? Because the defenses, it's clear by the numbers, the defenses have caught up to the RPO game.
So one of the things that we've brought up a lot, and, you know, when we see an analyst talk about, is talking about him going through progressions and his ability to sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, process things quickly.
Right. But see, that's so overrated, though,
okay.
Spike.
Is it?
See, to me, look, when you run good hard play action, you separate the defense and you run a high-low game, right? So I'm either throwing it high or I'm throwing it low. I got two options. And as I wrote about in Football Done Right, if you really want to understand the passing game in the National Football League, it's all triangle-based. And it rarely are you thinking about going from right to left. You're thinking about running the triangle. It's not Phil Jackson's triangle, but it's similar, right? There's points of the triangle that you're going to throw, and it's within the sight line of the quarterback, right? It's within the sight line. Now, if you want to throw a seam down the right seam, you got to look left to move. You got to move a free safety, but you're really not reading coverage. I think, to me, when you can run hard play action, where you separate the defense, where you draw the linebackers in, there's this huge gap to throw the ball into. And that's why it's so effective, and that's what the Eagles were able to do 2 years ago.
It's such a and you mentioned the under center thing. We've discussed it ad nauseum, and it's so hard from the outside to figure out, well, are they not doing it because Kellen Moore doesn't want to do it, or are they not doing it because Jalen Hurts isn't comfortable doing it? And if he isn't comfortable doing it, is that something that you can fix in the middle of the year?
You know, I think, to me, that's something you should really do in the design program. When you come in, you know, what you really need to do if you're a new offensive coach in Philadelphia is you need to sit down and say, okay, what are the five things that Jalen Hurts does really well? And let's do them. But let's dress them up in different ways, right? This system of football today isn't about doing what the coach wants to do. It's fitting the system around the skill set of the player. Like, look, you take Detroit as an example. Look, everybody in the league knows if you rush Goff and you get into the paint on Goff and you make him move right to left and make him feel pressure, he's going to throw the ball early and he's not going to be as good. But if he can stand back there like a Phillies pitcher and check the runners on first and third, he's dynamic. He's really good. And so Detroit invests in offensive linemen. They're firm in this middle of the field. I'm not saying Brown's a great player, but I would not call him, like, he's a fifth-round pick, right?
Yeah.
And he's a really good player, but they protect the quarterback so he has time to get open. Mm-hmm. I think that's the job of a coach, is to figure out what we do really well, what our player does really well. The strength of Philadelphia is they've got big play receivers on the outside. They've got a dynamic tight end. They can control the line of scrimmage with their offensive line. They should be – I mean, if Kyle Shanahan left San Francisco and came to Philly, how many points do you think they'd be scored a game?
Well, I would imagine it'd be a lot if the quarterback is playing well.
Yeah, well, he'd make the quarterback play well, because the one thing about the 49er offense is it's easy for the quarterback to read it. It's easy for him. You know, we're throwing the ball here, high-low. We're going to work this side, play action pass. We're going to run this boot. We're throwing the over out here. I mean, it becomes an easier game for him. And I think, to me, that's what you have to do. It isn't about, look, you can't build a system around what you want to do. Your players tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, because I like and respect you so much, I'm going to ask you to do something that I know is going to raise my blood pressure.
He's
going to
regret.
Yeah, but here is your opportunity to, at least right now at the beginning of the season, wallop a big told you so because Joel Embiid didn't play yesterday.
Well, I mean, look, he's hurt. I mean, and this is going to be the whole story. He's got a bad knee. I mean, I watched the clips on news last night. He could see he's favored his knee. They're not going to say it's his knee. It's a surgically repaired knee that he's had before. But they're concerned about it. He lost weight because of it. I mean, everybody in the league kind of knows about it. They're just hoping that they can manage the knee to where it's not going to swell up and it's not going to be a problem. But it's been a problem going back into the month of August. I mean, I don't understand how they could turn around and give him this huge contract knowing there's no chance. It would be me winning the 100-meter dash. I have a better chance than him fulfilling that whole contract.
Well, rumor around is you can move. Is that
no,
you?
Can, no, no. Like, so to me, this is just another example. They're going down a road where the best player on their team, or the guy that they think is the best player on their team, isn't going to be healthy when they want to. You know, here's what I do want you to think about.
Okay.
Is when is this ever? When is ever not practicing and improving ever made a team win a championship?
Well, I mean, you're going to tell me there's only one, but you asked me, and Kawhi Leonard did it 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I think that's a little bit different. The team was different. They played together. See, this is a new team.
Yes.
This is a whole bunch of new players.
Well, so here's the thing. Not to interrupt you, Mike, but here's the thing. They're in the situation. You could talk about the process and drafting him and yada, 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 but they're in the situation now, and I find a hard, as little a chance as it is that he gets through the year healthy, he's healthy in the playoffs, whatever small chance there is, that is still a bigger chance at this point than moving on and being stuck without a player who is capable of being a top five player in the league. Because that one player is so important in the NBA.
I think they missed their window. They should have traded him 2 years ago when he was really playing well. And they knew his injuries weren't going to last. But that would have devastated everybody in the town, and that would have been hard to do. But and they could have got a boatload for him. But now he's declining. He's older. This is not good. This has got Jeff Rulin written all over it, Spike.
Well, Jeff Rulin was never one of Jeff Rulin didn't win an MVP.
I don't care, though, but he came in with the pretense that he was going to be a good player, and he never could get healthy.
Yeah. I would say there is far more example of Joel Embiid being elite than Jeff Rulin. No.
I'm not arguing that Jeff Rulin and Embiid are the same player. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that the franchise counted on Rulin to be healthy, and he wasn't. That's the only comparison I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, that was incredibly reasonable. And
well, I mean, because what can you do?
Well,
I mean, this is the story of the whole year. They're a team. Look, one thing I do know about the NFL, and I think you saw it really closely this year, the teams that practice, and I said this on your show last week, The teams that practice, the teams that work on fundamentals and techniques during the week, they get better and they win. And by the end of the year, they're peaking. But this notion that we can put people in storage, wait until April, turn the car on and it's going to run perfectly is completely foreign to me. And you can cite Kawhi Leonard all you want. I just think this no chance of working ever. I don't care what anybody tells me.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming on every Thursday at 4. We will.
I appreciate you letting me have that moment.
Oh, come on, man! I'm ready for it. I would be not doing you, the listeners, or me a service if I didn't. All right, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate you.
All right, Mike.
There he is, Mike Lombardi. It'll get better because there will be at some point where they look great for 2 weeks, and I'll give it to Mike.
Oh yeah,
yeah. David in Doylestown, you're on WIP. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, David?
David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we all are on the radio.
Yeah, here we are.
Well, so, all right. So, this might be your first time, which is cool. So, when we go to you, then you start talking about what you want to talk about.
Run the ball.
Okay. There
run
it
the
is.
Ball. Let keep Jalen in the shade. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've called him before. I've said this. Let him do his thing. Just keep him in the shade, run that ball, and I think we're going to be okay.
Well, okay.
Run that ball.
Yeah. And it's difficult to score enough points when you just run the ball. That's the problem.
Well, you got to flip the script. Everybody says, it's a passing league. But no, flip the script, man.
Okay.
Run it. Pound it.
Ooh.
Keep that defense on the field. Keep our defense off the field. That's what I'm saying.
So you want a lot of D and a lot of running the ball?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have something to say to Ike.
I'm here.
Okay, Ike.
What's up?
This is weird, man. My wife had a dream about you. She tickled your belly. That's all I got to say.
Ooh, boy.
Wait,
I don't
she
know
what?
How I feel about that. What I don't happened? Like that.
She tickled your belly.
She tickled your belly.
Ah.
Oh. So if you're ever in Doyle,
send along a photo,
buddy. My wife will tickle your belly.
I'm sorry, David.
David, give us your go-to meat.
Oh, please don't.
No,
is it Ike?
Never mind.
Bologna and cheese, man. With a little mayo. Spicy sauce.
All right. We can take bologna. Yeah. All right, David. I mean, of all meats, taking bologna.
It's got to be fried bologna, though.
Fried bologna. I remember fried bologna, and it is quite good.
Man, fried bologna with cheese? Yeah.
What about we've heard about the barbecue bologna sandwiches. You heard about those,
Yeah, I'm obviously. Out on the barbecue bologna. Yeah, I'm out on that.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's. Mark's-Jewelers.com. We're going to need a new Twitter question, actually, Jack. Because every
you don't
time
like
I
this
read
one?
No, well, it's going to fairly
is it
make
poorly word? Is it poorly worded?
Yeah, it's poorly worded.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to think of a new one. Why don't you think of a new one? Throw it up there. Coming up next, speaking of Joel Embiid, Nick Nurse gave the answer. About Joel Embiid, that I feel like if he had just given it a day before, may have been a little bit better. He gave a very crucial piece of information in this answer about Joel Embiid yesterday. We will play that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. Back to games tonight. We had games Tuesday. We had game Wednesday. We got games tonight somewhere out there. Yeah. I'll tell you, last night, good job, good start. Listen, Milwaukee, forget about them, man. Not worried about that. Not a good start for us, Philadelphia here. But they'll be back on it Friday, right, Jack, is when they play again? Friday, Toronto?
Yeah.
Yep, that sounds right. You can get back on there. And, man, I tell you, the Celtics look like they may be on their way to repeating. Forget about all that. Now, if you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. happy to be with you here today.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse gave an answer about Joel Embiid that might make you feel a little bit better, a little bit at least. We'll get to that in a moment.
Ooh, okay.
215-592-9494. OG Wade is on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG?
Killing it.
Listen, I'm hearing all of these guys, man. Everybody talk about Jalen can't throw the ball now. Now all of a sudden he can't throw the ball. First he was a turnover machine, so he had a turnover in three games. Now he can't throw the ball and this and that. Let me enlighten some people to something.
Thank God.
Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles offense is going through what they call a new offense. Okay, you got a new offensive coordinator. So naturally, they're not going to look like they were in 22 when they was running Jalen's offense. And then last year in 23 when they was running Nick's offense, the big issue that Nick and Jalen had last year was Jalen was not comfortable with the offense that he was running. That is why they had that issue.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This is, and that office obviously was ranked 7th, right, last year. And the reason why they brought Kellen Moore in, because front office agreed that they didn't want to go back with that. So what we're doing right now, we're watching a quarterback go into learn a new offense. So it's not going to be as rosy as the Detroit Lions, who's been running the same freaking offense for four years now.
It's true.
Okay?
It's true.
People need to understand how to compartmentalize what you're watching on the TV screen. I know this is not sexy talk.
You told us for years that this is Jalen's offense. It doesn't matter who they bring in here. It's Jalen's offense.
Jack, didn't I just say that they changed the offense?
What you said.
Here's what I want to say. And I always told people this here. The reason why I felt Jalen was the best in the league was because he was running his own offense, and he was in it for the second year, and it was going to continue on if Nick could keep his, whatever in check. Now that is not the case. But here's the bright side of the thing. We're 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you look at last week's game where a team had to make an adjustment that the game plan that they was coming out with at first didn't work, so they changed it. Isn't that what we want to see? Don't we want to see a coach that has the ability to change in game instead of waiting until you lose and then you change? No, we changed it and we started running. That was successful. We didn't need Jalen to throw the ball more than 14 times. We literally ran the ball to keep the clock running. Literally. There was no way the game was in to the point where we had to throw the ball. Why is everybody taking those numbers so literal and say, oh, we can't throw the ball? That don't mean you can't throw it. It just means that you are being successful doing something, so why go away from it? Why are we trying to make big out of little? You
well,
mean like
hold on, OG. That's not exactly what happened, though. That's not exactly what happened. They tried to throw the ball several times in the beginning of the game. Yeah. He held the ball too long, and he ended up with sacks. So that's, I know you're going to tell me I don't know the game and blah 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 blah, but that's what happened. So
listen, hold on, let's stop right now.
Yeah,
he ain't doing that. I don't have a problem with you, Spike.
Okay.
Okay? I'm not saying you don't know the game no more. I'm done. I ain't doing that.
Thank you.
Did I not just say we came out one with a game plan to do something, and we changed
it? They changed it,
yeah. For whatever reason we changed it, we changed it. This is a team, not a jailing team. They're not a JJ team.
Yeah, but we're talking about – I know, but we're talking about Jalen right now. And just real quick, the reason they switched to the run is specifically because of the failure in the passing game, and some of that had to do with him.
Okay, Spike, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You think some of it had to do with Fred Johnson not being able to block the edge?
It had some to do with that, but he also – but all, yes, it had some to – it had some to do with that, and it also had some to do with Jalen holding the ball too long, because yes, he wouldn't have been sacked if he didn't hold the ball too long. He's held the ball longer than just about every quarterback in the NFL this year. And we have and the only thing I would say is that, you know, we have a set of weapons that would lead you to believe that if they weren't doing that, I can't buy the nobody's open thing, and that's why that happens. It doesn't seem like that's true.
I didn't say that.
I'm not saying what you said, OG. I'm just saying that that there has to be some reason why he's holding the ball too long, and that's not productive.
Let me give you what I believe could be the reason why he's holding the ball.
Okay.
Okay, you have what you call long developing routes that's in this offensive system that Kellen Moore is running, okay? This is not a West Coast offense. Everybody want to see the quarterback under center. Guess what? That's not a West Coast. That's a West Coast offense. That's not what we run here. So stop asking for Jalen to do something that other teams do, because that's what their philosophy is. We have a philosophy. And it would be nice if the fans could accept that and stop looking in us to be like San Fran. We're not the Detroit Lions. We ain't San Fran. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles.
But
okay?
But so Kellen Moore offenses in both Dallas and San Diego did have way more under center than the Eagles are doing currently. That's just a fact.
And you know why that is? And let me explain something to you about Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore has never, ever, ever beat any good teams. Okay, so I don't want to hear all this great stuff about Kellen Moore. I wasn't on board with his system when he was in Dallas. And nor was I when he was in with the Chargers. He's here now. He's our guy, and we got to deal with that. So right now, I think the main thing for us to do is try to get Jalen to be able to run Kellen Moore's offense as best he can.
Okay.
That's what I believe Jalen is out there trying to do. And
can we win like this, OG? OG, can we win like this?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Here's how we can win.
All right.
We have to get better every week. Right now, we're not good enough to win it. No, we have to get better every week at what we're doing.
1%, some people say.
Hopefully, we can stay healthy.
Win the day.
Hopefully, we can stay healthy, because that's the thing that seemed to be the main part is your tight end, that your all-pro tight end we spoke to, he missed 6 games a year, every year.
That's true.
He comes back. So we need some consistency. Continuity is what wins in the NFL.
But you also know this, though, OG. Players get injured. Like, you know. Kansas City, hold on. Just hit me out, because I'm with you. But Kansas City basically lost all their starting receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're undefeated.
Right. You know why?
Well, because the team – no. I'm not telling you Patrick Mahomes is playing great. I'm not saying that. I know the defense is there. What I'm saying is that we can't use that somebody is injured for a reason why – you know what I'm saying? Like, we have to be able to overcome some of these things. Some of it is coaching. Coaching has to coach better there. But we got to be able to keep winning. And we need to be better later in the year than we are right now in our passing game. And I think we will be. I actually feel better, man. We get through this weekend. I don't know when I'm going to come back and say Monday.
Don't say it yet.
Yeah.
Don't say it yet. Then we'll hold you to it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We get through this weekend with a W. Mm.
Hey, OG.
I'm back in.
We know you're big into meat. What is your go-to meat?
Well, first of all, I don't do the meat games. I don't play them kind of games. But if you were talking about real beef, you know,
we're talking real meat, man.
Come on, dead animals.
Yeah, don't. All right, the one I like, the Japanese ribeye. Yeah, the Wagyu.
Oh, the Wagyu.
Oh, the Wagyu.
He's going expensive.
Wow. Well, he's a high class.
Yeah. He is a high class guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys ever have the Wagyu?
I've had the Wagyu before.
Yeah. I don't think
I've had the Wagyu.
Yeah, I did not pay for it.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, some people eat the Wagyu raw.
I've seen that. Yeah, I can't eat it raw.
A lot of carpaccio out there.
Carpaccio. As we learned through OG Wade's calls.
Yeah.
Everything has to be perfect for Jalen. No one can get hurt. No offensive coordinator can.
Yeah,
leave.
That's why I had to jump in there. Like, no, we're not doing the whole injured
Saquon
thing.
Saquon has to rush for 150 yards a week. As long as we have all that, you can win with them.
So, are y'all ready for the take I had?
Yes.
All right, well, it popped back in my head.
Yeah.
So,
I
need to go ahead and get this out.
Yes.
This is not the year for the Super Bowl. It's next year.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, and what's your reasoning?
Well, that's the camera's 2-year plan.
I'm just saying, we need to be in the same system for Jalen at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have everybody. Listen, this is the great part. We're not losing anybody after this year. Everybody is maybe Slay.
Yeah.
Right? Probably Slay. Other than
Goddard. Probably
Goddard. Slay and Goddard. Okay, yeah. I forgot about Goddard. And like OG said, we get Goddard like 2/3 of the season anyway. Yeah.
Jalen doesn't know he exists.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we're going to be better at the end of the year. We're making the playoffs. So don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen out there. We're making the playoffs, and depending on our matchup, because I think we're going to win this division, I think we're winning at least a game. Winning at least a game, so we're in the second round of the playoffs. You take that, you build off of that. You don't do a whole lot to the roster coming back next year, because now we can build that continuity. You got an offseason that you already had it in. We come back next year, man. We're ready to roll.
Look, all I know is somebody on this show predicted 10 wins and win one playoff game. So I'm the real football guy. That's all I
do. I still got them at 12-5.
Oh, this year still 12 wins? Okay.
Yes, dude.
If we win 12 games.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be talking Super Bowl around here.
Oh, I know they will, but that don't mean they're going.
Okay, all
right. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
That, listen, I hope I'm wrong, quite frankly. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just saying, you look at Detroit, they have been in that system for 3 or 4 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this stuff does matter. San Francisco, same system every year. We aren't getting the best version of what this team could be because they are still learning. Right? I mean, can we agree with that? No?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Okay,
so they are still
learning. And it is fair to say, in Shane Steichen's system the second year, the offense looked totally better than it did the first
year. Totally. And after you jinxed the Phillies by saying they're going to win the World Series, I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, so you're trying to jinx them?
Yes, that's what he's... Yeah. Well, I hope you're right.
Cut that audio.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
No, what about...
I jinxed the Phillies...
Yeah.
I tried to hang in there with him the whole time.
I know. Yeah. You both Which I appreciate. Yeah.
You both jinxed.
Once again, there's too many things working against the Phillies last year. So how are they supposed to overcome all the expectations? I just don't. What do you want them to do? Win?
Now, the one thing you can't say about the
You're
Phillies.
Such a little coward.
The one thing you can't say about the Phillies is they have been in the same system.
Well, yes. Again. Whatever the baseball system is.
I'm just saying they've been under the same manager.
They're awfully comfortable over there. Yeah. The one thing you didn't account for in your Eagles will win the Super Bowl next year take is the bidding war for Kellen Moore being head coach.
Yeah, I'd be shocked when that happens.
You don't think there's going to be a bidding war?
I don't think so.
Well, 2026 is going to be the year of Philadelphia.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the All-Star game here.
What is it called? What's that?
Bicentennial?
I don't think that's what it's called.
Well, there's some kind of centennial.
Because it's 250.
Yes. Yes, so we have the MLB All-Star game here. Yeah. We have the PGA Championship here.
Yes.
Aiden Miller will be
here.
Andrew Painter will be up.
A World Cup game will be here.
It'll be Embiid's second title.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, see?
2026. It's the year of Philadelphia. The shame is I wanted to go to New Orleans.
Oh, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's over. I mean, it's fun.
It's kind of overrated.
We're not New Orleans men. I can tell you that.
I can tell you right now. Yeah. No.
You don't think I'm a New Orleans man?
Wait a minute.
I don't think so.
We came back from the Mets game. This guy's ordering DoorDash. No. You're half asleep at the sushi place.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not a New Orleans man.
I'm not a New Orleans man. I went with my wife a few years back. It's fun that all the ghost tour stuff is fun, but the party,
the Bourbon Street, all of that.
No.
2026 is in San Fran, so that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Ooh, that'd
well,
be expensive.
San Fran is not the greatest place to go visit, right?
Crime wise is not a great place. But I'd rather be there than New Orleans. Well, I don't know.
I've
been to San Francisco.
I played in San Francisco, but I've never been to San Francisco.
It's a cool city.
I've never been out in San Francisco.
It's a cool city. It has its problems just like every other city does. So, speaking of Embiid, who I just mentioned, Nick Nurse had some reasonably positive Embiid stuff yesterday. We will play you that right after I tell you about some reasonably positive stuff about your windows. So the negative part is that they need to be replaced. I'm sorry, you know it in the back of your head. I'm telling you it, but you know it in the back of your head. The good news is that if you go Guida right now, they're going to make the whole thing easier on you, more affordable. Buy one, get one half off. Every door, every window you buy the next one 50% off. Mix and match the savings however you want. Buy an entry door, get half off on a storm door. Buy a patio door, get 50% off on a window. Mix and match it all you want. You replace everything in your house, half of what you replace is going to be 50% off. But don't wait. You wait every time I tell you not to wait. This is for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. Call 877-GO-GUIDA to get a free, no obligation, in-home estimate. Or if you don't like calling anyone, I understand it. That's fine. Go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. So you remember Nick Nurse's first answer about what's wrong with Joel Embiid. He was sort of confrontational.
Snippy.
And would not answer if Embiid was injured or not. Just basically didn't answer. So he was asked again. I believe this was Devin asking him the question.
The Bulldog.
Yeah, Devin turned into quite a little reporter over there.
Oh, man, yeah.
It is. I don't mean little, but right. I mean, you know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. She's,
quite the reporter.
Yeah, she's getting the job done.
Well, especially because she's got to look at you, Ram, in the eyes and say, I'm getting this question in. And I don't know if you can look you, Ram, in the eyes.
Yeah. Well, you got to beat your Ram to the tough question. That's a tough job.
Yeah. When you look at Uram, that's all you're going to see is his eyes.
His eyes,
exactly right.
Yeah,
that's actually. He's in sweatshirts in the middle of summer.
Two sweatshirts. The guy's wearing
a mask.
Mask bundled
and
up.
Pants.
Yeah,
two masks.
That's
two
how,
of them.
That's how he gets the answers. They're terrified of him. So Devin
no
asked.
No problems here.
Devin asked Nick Nurse about Joel, and here's how it went.
In these first three games, is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
The plan is why he's not playing, yes. He did not re-injure himself, but the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is that they've determined that he's not quite ready to go, hasn't been in any full court scrimmages, etc. And that's the plan.
He did not injure himself. Mm-hmm. He did not re-injure himself. So if they're lying, at least there is a quote out there that specifically leads them to say it. And, him saying that does, especially after the NBA is going to look into it. And Bobby Marks posted this the other day. The NBA almost has to look into it if a star player misses a nationally televised game.
Yeah.
And then if two star players did, which they did, they look into it.
Yeah.
But him saying he's not injured and what are you laughing at?
Well, it just sounded like he was in a hostage video.
Yes,
I mean, like it was the least convincing. He's like, it sounded like they were telling him what to say.
Well, that's what they should have done. And that's what he should do in this situation. Because there's things he can't say.
Yeah, he clearly didn't have the answer for the other day. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because people will believe this as well. From the surgery that he had, the injury that he got earlier.
Yep.
Is this some sort of effect or after effect from that, the knee swelling? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be a new injury. It could just be.
No, I think it's definitely that.
Yeah.
I think, but when people keep asking, well, what is he ramping up from? He had knee surgery. He hurt it again before the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is a clear, when you watch those games at the end of the year, but I think it was against Orlando when he twisted it up again because he didn't play the last couple of regular season games before the playoffs. There is a notable difference in how he was moving before and after that. And he was clearly hurt in the Knicks series.
Yeah.
So whatever, and then he went and he played in the Olympics,
right,
which did not, it, whatever time he had between the end of the season and the Olympics was clearly not enough time to heal whatever it is. And then he played the Olympics again, which delayed it. I think it's a combo of that, and that knee has had more than one issue.
Sure.
So I truly believe, now I do think he's going to have problems with the knee the rest of his career. He's 7'2", 275 pounds. He's had enough of knee issues. It's really hard to not have issues after a couple of knee, because you're going to have arthritis in there. He's going to have that issue. Mm-hmm. So I truly believe they want it as strong and him as fit as he could possibly be going into this year.
Yeah.
I truly believe it. And for everyone who is disappointed that he's not going to play in this, he's not going to play in that, look, the guy averages about, since the throwing away the first 2 years, is averaged about 60 games, 55, 60 games a year,
mm-hmm.
which I think is probably what he'll play this year. Maybe it's closer to 50 or 55, okay, but I think he's going to play the same number of games. The goal is to not have
that. Provided he doesn't have
another
any injury.
Yeah. I think the goal is to have him play that amount of games by strategy and not by, hey, he just can't go for the next week because of this. So I think it's directly related to the sprain, knee injury.
It's understandable why people are upset he played in the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that was a hot topic
about
playing in the Olympics.
And I understand it. I don't agree with it. I still
I'm okay with you. I'm not going to be a hypocrite because I'm go get your gold medal, man. Yeah, I'm good with it.
I think it means something.
It does. But it does. Yeah. It does beg the question that had he not played in the Olympics, that time could have been used to sort of strengthen the knee, and then he would have been ready
early. And here's what I don't know this for sure, but here would be my other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he doesn't go to the Olympics, and this wouldn't be the first time he's had a summer off after an injury, and he hasn't come into camp with the right mindset.
This is true.
So what I would say is that I would put at least some... I would at least devote some of the, hey, he is looking at this season the right way. Hey, he has lost 25 or 30 pounds to the Olympic experience.
Okay.
I would hope that some of what he experienced this summer has put him in a different mindset. And a different, he's had a lot of opportunities to lose weight. And people keep saying this. They keep saying, well, why did he wait till now? I agree. But here's where we are. Mm-hmm. So if I were to tell you, if I were to come back and say, okay, those two things were at least an indirect result of the Olympics, and we're going to pay for it by not having him for the first week or two of the year, is it worth it? I would come back and say yes.
Okay.
I would say that is a fair trade. If you're going to knock 25 pounds off of him, have him give up the not caring about the MVP, not playing back-to-backs, all that, only focused on a title, is that a fair trade? I would take that trade. That's what I would take that trade. And yes, him playing in the Olympics, I'm sure set him back. Not a setback, but set back the timing.
Certainly slowed down the healing process of his knee and rested and everything.
Well, because before you can rehab the way that they want to rehab, with him practicing and scrimmaging, he needs the time off, and he didn't have that time off. But I think to a certain extent, the Sixers were like, well, he's had the whole summer off before after an injury, and we didn't come back into camp in great shape or with the right mindset or anything like that. So we might as well try it this way.
Yeah.
They're trying everything that I think they've probably wanted to try prior and haven't been able to try, and they're trying it.
And they got him to be able to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And look,
he has to stick to it, though.
Yes.
Because I can see, I still don't trust that he's going to just willingly sit against some marquee opponents.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that he said out loud, And he said it that they can throw the quote back in his face. Mm-hmm. He said, they're going to need to stop me from doing it. Like I think his gut is going to be, nah, I want to go.
Yeah.
This is national TV. No, it's this, it's that, the other. I think, but if I were Nick Nurse or Daryl Morey, I would say, you told us, you specifically said this is the only thing that matters. This doesn't matter. And he would have no retort to that.
Nope.
The answer is, you gave us the answer.
No, he would say, I did say that at the time.
Yes.
I'm playing tonight.
I'm playing tonight, yeah.
Only playing the home games. That's my official stance. If you're going to sit him, don't sit
him on the road. Well, sure, because all we care about is the fans who go down there to see him.
If you're going to play 40 games, how would they make them just home games? How would the NBA handle that one?
Yeah, probably not well.
They'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure the other teams would love it, too.
And to be to be completely transparent, I'm with you on accepting where we're at with this. I'm good with it. I am. I'm not outraged, frustrated. Now, of course, I don't buy tickets to go to the game, so I can understand where people who pay for tickets
100%.
Are upset about it. And, and a lot of people, that's who you're hearing from. But I'm about the postseason, man. Let's get him to be at his best late in the year.
And the only thing I'd say about tickets is, how is this different than last year or the year before mm-hmm. that, when he misses a ton of games anyway? So the only, it's not good. I'm not happy about it. But the only thing that we might get out of this is, at least they're telling you this is why and this is the goal. And it'll feel good if it works out that way.
Why are you clapping, man?
Painter's shoving right now. Andrew Painter's making his third Arizona Fall League start. Five pitch first inning.
What's the chances he's our fifth starter?
Well, he's gonna. So, I think he's gonna be in the rotation eventually. I think he's not
next year.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna start. I don't think he's gonna opening day be on the roster.
Right.
And I think they didn't manage his innings. He's not going to pitch more than 120 innings.
Right.
You know, for a guy who forgets a lot of stuff in that room, you sure watch a lot of baseball during that show.
I would argue. I don't know. I'm not sure what I've forgotten recently. I nailed Casas 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, great. All right. Coming up next. Oh, more Jack. Great. Top 5 at 5. What do we have to expect in the top 5 at 5?
Some unbelievable audio.
Yeah, I'm going to concur. This is some of the best audio I've ever heard.
One of the toughest scenes I've ever seen in the history of WIP. Yeah,
if you like cringe audio,
yes.
it doesn't get better than this, actually. So that is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.